Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Those who engaged in the attacks last week will be brought to justice. Now I am asking everyone who has ever believed in our agenda to be thinking of ways to ease tensions, calm tempers, and help to promote peace in our country.
The president sending out a message yesterday, I stumbled across it on the White House Facebook page, and I thought, ooh, I wonder if Mark Zuckerberg knows that this is here. Well, let's wait and see. As far as I know, it's still up there. We shared it to our Facebook page if you wanted to see the entire speech. It was a good one. Kind of one of those things where anything that he does now, anything that President Trump comes out and does now, is all a reaction to what's going on in the world. I mean, the deplatforming of the president of the United States is one of the most astonishing things that I've ever seen. Truly. And it is very interesting. I'm looking forward to, we're going to cover it, but I'm looking forward to getting more information before we dive 100% into it. But the timeline of what took place last Wednesday and the intel that we've received from what they do know about the Capitol riots is that these were orchestrated. This was an orchestrated event. How does that play into the rest of what took place in the Capitol, at the Capitol building? I've said this from the beginning. If there was an Antifa, KKK, QAnon, white supremacist, Proud Boy, any of these more fringe groups, if any of them decided that they were going to organize something and lead these people in, if you're still somebody who's like Joe Trump supporter and you're like, yeah, let's storm the Capitol building, that sounds like an awesome idea right now in this moment in time, and then you go into the Capitol building, then it's kind of on you. So you can't, I'm a big fan of personal responsibility. Boy, would we be in a better situation right now as a country if we had a little bit more personal responsibility at the forefront of how we judge things. Nancy Pelosi is looking to fine members of Congress right now if they don't wear their masks, they don't go through lie detectors. And, you know, I was watching Outnumbered before we started here, and I think it was Kennedy's like, Nancy Pelosi is on a power trip. I'm like, has Nancy Pelosi ever been not right on a power trip? I mean, like, Nancy Pelosi is a power trip. That's what she is. I mean, all she does is wield immense amounts of power that her party continues to give her. She's not going to lose in San Francisco. Nancy Pelosi isn't going anywhere until the time has expired on her presence here on Earth at a natural cause event at some point in time. She's not going anywhere. She is one of the fiercest, most aggressive, and, you know, detrimental to my side of the aisle, and certainly what I think is best for the country, one of the sharpest politicians that exists in Washington, D.C. Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, I have said that before. I think he's shrewd, and he understands how he navigate himself through all of these political landmines, except for the fact that I think he really blew it on passing the $2,000 stimulus checks. They're going to pass those now. After we're going to get another check. Thank you, grandchildren. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. So I can spend it on something. If you spend the stimulus check the way they want you to spend the stimulus check, you're going to go buy a TV or something like that with it. Which is, you know, I don't know. Is that, if you've got $2,000 in debt and you got a TV that's on sale, are you going to go buy that TV instead? You might. That's your decision. But when it comes to stimulus, I think it was Joe Manchin originally was saying that he didn't support the idea of $2,000 checks just out willy-nilly. He wanted it to be targeted, which is really what the Republicans have been saying the whole time, is let's make sure we're helping the people who need help. Joe Manchin said that a few days ago. He's starting to backtrack on that a little bit. I wonder why. And, you know, his suggestion behind that was that if we're going to stimulate the economy, like the stimulus is supposed to be made in an effort to help downtrodden businesses, which are being shut down by blue state governors or blue state county executives or blue state or, you know, blue areas. When you stimulate the economy, you need people to get this money and then go stick it back into the economy by buying things, supporting businesses, support it, which allows people. It's funny to me because we can get the idea of stimulus on both sides of the aisle, that money into the economy on a ground level where you go spend your $20 on something maybe that's a little more frivolous than before because you feel comfortable in your life right now, that's an economic principle we can understand, but only in times of crisis. Any other time, that $20 is better spent through taxes in the government's pocket, because at that point, they know what to do with it. Well, they're going to hang on to it until a crisis occurs and they can politically, expediently give your money back to you and ask you to say thank you when it cashes in your checking account. It is really something to behold. The Illinois State House of Representatives has a new Speaker of the House. Mike Madigan is not the Speaker any longer. This is big news. I've heard a lot of people across the state, specifically some conservatives that I talked to in Chicago, say that this means that the airplane is now flying with no pilot. That does not seem comforting to me. But, you know, I kind of have an idea of where the plane was headed before. So let's see where it's headed here in the future. We're going to talk to State Representative Blaine Wilhauer at 1:25 to ask about that specifically. And also the police reform bill passed the House, passed the Senate, and will now be going to Governor Pritzker. And boy, if you have ever made a phone call before, call and plead for him to veto it. I can't imagine a scenario where he does. But you could try, that's for sure. Now we have, out of the state of Illinois, Representative Ann Stava Murray has introduced a bill that would amend the school code for police officers. I'm reading this from the riverbender.com, written by Chris Rhodes, who actually contacted me about this. Representative Ann Stava Murray, a Democrat from Downers Grove, filed HB 0029 with the clerk in Illinois on Wednesday, January 13th. The synopsis of the bill reads, amends the school code, provides that law enforcement officers shall not maintain a presence on school grounds unless there exists an imminent threat of danger to students at the school in question, or there is a reason to believe that urgent immediate action is necessary to prevent such danger to students, makes conforming changes, defines school grounds. They're going to take police officers, law enforcement officers, resource officers off of school premises. Why? I don't know, because they're only going to let them back in after the trouble starts. Seems to me that the presence of law enforcement at a school would be a great way to instill a positive relationship between law enforcement and our youth, where they don't only show up when things get crazy, where they are in a position to develop a relationship with these kids, to be accessible when it is needed. I mean, like, we can think about the times where you would have police officers storming a school. Don't really want to talk about that. That's not the only time that resource officers are beneficial to these schools. But HB 0029 by Representative Stava Murray from Downers Grove, get those police officers out of our schools. We don't want them here. Can you believe this? Riverbender.com reached out to Representative Stava Murray for a comment. She said, quote, I may not call up this bill this session. Oh, I wonder why. I wonder why that is. It's because you just crapped all over the police officers, law enforcement in the state of Illinois this week. It's been a little bit of a rough week. I have seen people that are on the far left side of the aisle on social media who are here in the state of Illinois who are disgusted by the police reform bill that took place, which means that your action is now as important as it ever has been. Because the attention of voters, constituents in the state of Illinois right now is at a peak. I'm going to share this article with you, Katie, so we can awesome. Put it with maybe we can just share it straight to Facebook. I don't know. It's crazy. I got to tell you, I'm in a position right now where with everything going on in the world, my need, my desire for a distraction is at peak high.
Yep, I hear you.
I started watching Yellowstone. We watched it maybe, my husband, I think I saw a promo for it. I'm like, horses and mountains. My husband would like this movie. Kevin Costner, I would like this show, yep. Not movie. I'm in. It's just a bunch of cowboys. It's not bad, ladies. But the story is amazing. I'm loving it. It's not for kids, that's for sure. But Ryan, have you ever taken in Yellowstone at all?
Everybody says it's good, but no, I've never seen it.
It is so good. I highly recommend it. If you're looking for a distraction, that is at the top of my list. Also, Animal Crossing on Switch, which I haven't played since, I think, Christmas. So,
oh, good for you. You're laying off.
That's not good for me. I want to play Animal Crossing. I want a distraction.
What's stopping you? Is Yellowstone stopping
and it,
you?
No, an impeachment and Joe Biden's inauguration, and there was a riot that just took place. That's what's stopping me paying attention to my job and my life, unfortunately. Katie, what's your distraction these days?
Gosh. Well, you know, Cobra Kai just came out with season 3 on Netflix.
Are you a Cobra Kai fan?
Oh, big Cobra Kai fan.
Is anybody huge. Not a Cobra Kai fan?
Not that I'm aware of. They really, really did a fantastic job. I was not a Karate Kid person. I didn't have any need or want to watch The Karate Kid ever. And then David and I just happened upon Cobra Kai, and we are absolutely in love with it. So that is the TV show we are putting all of our energy towards.
So let me ask a really basic question. I know Cobra Kai has something to do with Karate Kid, but I have no understanding of the premise. Is it a drama? Is it a like reality-based TV? Is it the same thing as Tiger King? What is Cobra Kai?
It's a drama, and it's funny, and it's quirky and kind of campy. But it's all scripted, and it's a continuation of The Karate Kid. These two boys that had this battle in The Karate Kid, they both form their own dojos as adults, and they're rivals. So it's just like watching them and their rivalry continue and then seeing what their kids do in their dojos, and they have tournaments. It's very nerdy and corny.
Is there any part of it that is reality-based? Or is it all drama?
It's all scripted.
Mm-hmm. But you love it.
I love it. And awesome. And as you just highlighted, it is a good thing to turn off the news and turn that on.
A drastic misdirection.
Yes.
Which is exactly what we need right now. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Congressman Ronnie Davis is going to be with us. I am very interested to discuss with him his experience last Wednesday, what it was like to go through that and then an impeachment. I mean, man, there has been a lot going down. And what's going to happen in the future here? The Biden administration will be inaugurated next week, and we're going to have to hold on tight. Let's talk to Congressman Ronnie Davis in just a minute. Don't go away.
There has been reporting that additional demonstrations are being planned in the coming days, both here in Washington and across the country. I have been briefed by the U.S. Secret Service on the potential threats. Every American deserves to have their voice heard in a respectful and peaceful way. That is your First Amendment right. But I cannot emphasize that there must be no violence, no law breaking, and no vandalism of any kind. Everyone must follow our laws and obey the instructions of law enforcement.
This is the president yesterday from the White House, from the Resolute Desk in the Oval Office, delivering this message, trying to calm down or quell any sort of unrest that might be occurring in the next week. I know that there are people, it's interesting to me because I've seen a lot of flyers for gatherings, but I only see them from people saying, don't go to this. So see, I maybe I'm not running in the right circles, which means maybe I'm running in the right circles. But there's nobody in my circle, and I follow a lot of people who are prominent in the conservative world or whatever, that you would think that if there was really something going on right now that was asking people like me or like you to show up and protest something, they'd be pushing this. Because they certainly have pushed, you know, every other walk away thing or every other gathering of patriots, blah, blah, blah. I'm not seeing that. I'm just seeing people be like, don't get scooped up in this. Don't believe the hype. This is like a distraction. So I don't know. Are there really protests going to occur? And the more we learn about what took place last week at the Capitol Hill, we understand that there was coordination that was involved in that event. And if there was coordination, if there's an understanding that there was some premeditation in that, how do you impeach the president over inciting an insurrection, which to me means that he said something and people go, let's go, let's do this, and then they storm the Capitol building? We're actually finding out from our own intelligence that that's probably not at all how it actually went down. But it doesn't matter. It's never mattered. It's always about Donald Trump. And I hate to say this, Donald Trump probably excited about this, but after Joe Biden is inaugurated next week, it's still going to be all about Donald Trump. Everything that goes wrong for the next 4 years is going to be because Donald Trump broke it. And you know, the Democrats are there and they're going to have to do what they can to fix it. The idea that Donald Trump is just going to fade into the background, it's like you've been Sleeping Beauty for the last 4 years. And I don't know that you know how this works.
What I'm afraid for next is that, like, yes, Donald Trump is not going to go anywhere. But what I'm afraid is that, say, like, 2024 comes around and then the pressure's on to say, well, there's conservative candidates that are running that supported Donald Trump. Like, I'm afraid of that evolution.
Oh, yeah.
Where people are going to be
like,
it's
a scarlet letter.
Exactly. And I'm like, well, that was the candidate for the Republican Party. That was the person that put policies in place that a lot of conservatives and Republicans 100% supported. So, yeah.
I was thinking about this yesterday. I took a bath, needed to, fell asleep in it. It was wonderful.
Nice.
Nice.
I was sitting there thinking about this idea of the president inciting this insurrection. What the president said on paper is not insurrection incitable. Is that a word? Is that a phrase?
Sure.
It is now. I mean, what is anything at this point in time? I believe there was tone and tenor that made it, like, I believe that the president didn't help the situation. I believe he handled that. He waited way too long to say, whoa, 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 everybody stop. This is ridiculous. This is not what supporting this administration means, and so on and so forth. I think that he didn't handle the reaction to it very well at all. I still do not like the way that he specifically called people out in his speech. I've heard snippets. I didn't listen to Giuliani and Don Jr. speaking before that, but I did not like the way that their tone was at all. But it was laying there yesterday thinking about this. It's very interesting to me that, you know, like the idea of premeditated murder, you don't actually like or attempted murder. If you have an attempted murder charge, that means that the person didn't die from your attempt at doing so. The thing that made Donald Trump's message last week so dangerous is that something happened immediately after it. And as we find out the intelligence around it and we realize that there was some coordination that existed before that, the proximity of those events is problematic. But we can't look at the way Donald Trump spoke and compare it to the Maxine Waters, you know, get out and get in people's faces and surround them at gasoline stations. If anything would have happened after she said that, that takes away the attempted part of the incitement. And we have lots of instances where both sides of the aisle have used this type of rhetoric. I feel like there's a lot more information out there that we need to have to put together to see exactly what happened. But the rhetoric in general, in a bipartisan fashion, has gotten us culturally into a major problem. Let's get to our guest, Rodney Davis. Congressman Rodney Davis is on with us right now. He represents Illinois' 13th district. He's my representative as well. Congressman, thank you so much for coming on today. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I want to ask you first and foremost to tell us your story of what took place last week, where you were, how you took that in, and give us your firsthand account.
My job was in the election.
I think we lost him. Did we lose him?
Let me go ahead and put him back on hold and see what I can do. Sorry, guys.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. We can push him too if we have to. If we can take a break, we can get a better line with him. I mean, when you're looking into what was taking place as it was happening, which is another reason why I don't, you know, I know first in wins in media in many cases. I think that's also contributed to what has gotten us to the point where we are in such a depraved state of humanity, the way we speak to each other. And I'm not talking about, you know, the way the pundits on air talk about each other. Or I'm not talking about, you know, the way the politicians, when Nancy Pelosi takes the podium or when Donald Trump takes a podium. I'm not talking about that specifically, but I'm talking about the way we willfully talk about one another on social media, the way we willfully attack one another from a righteous position. It happens on both sides of the aisle. It's insufferable. It's hard to take. And I think it all is a contributing factor to where we are right now. We got him back, Katie? Is that right? Okay. Sorry about that, Congressman. We got a little bit of a bad connection there. Hopefully this one's better.
No worries. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Tell us about your experience last week.
Well, I was eloquently telling you that when you couldn't hear me earlier, Annie.
I'm what sure is with?
What
that
is with Katie?
My bad.
Hey, first off, again, thanks for having me on. This is always a great opportunity to speak with you guys. On the House floor that day, counting the Electoral College votes and sitting in front of Vice President Pence and Speaker Pelosi, when Arizona was objected to, the House went into 2 hours of debate. And during that time, I went down to our sergeant-at-arms office and I saw the first areas being breached. And that's that was a problem that I went up and talked to Kevin McCarthy about. And then I went onto the House floor as our leadership and the Democrat leadership were being taken off the floor by their security details. And we were on the floor together, hundreds of us. And not too long after that, we were hearing banging on the doors of the house that we were locked into. And eventually we were evacuated out one door and down some stairs into the tunnels to a safe place. While that we were evacuating out, we could hear the pounding and the screaming. And I had carried down one of my colleagues, me and a Capitol police officer, because he's getting cancer treatments right now and could not walk fast enough down the stairs. And luckily, by the grace of God, there's a wheelchair down on the first floor, and we got him in that and over to the safe spot. About 5 hours later, I went back to the House floor, and I went back to the first and second floor of the Capitol. Tear gas residue all over, packages all over the house for gas masks that they told us to take out of the packages. And what will haunt me the most is the Capitol police officers who were just exhausted sitting in the rotunda in Statuary Hall. And all I could do was walk up and say thank you and give a big hug to the ones that I know the best.
Man, I mean, you've experienced this multiple times now, being on the baseball field along with Steve Scalise a few years ago, where there was a targeted attack on you know, Republicans playing baseball on a field. This is a bit of a different circumstance. But you said what haunts you. Were you in fear for your life at this moment?
Yeah, absolutely. And you've seen evidence since then that many of these rioters who are not patriots, I mean, these people are criminals. They came in with zip ties. They came in with weapons. They beat up our Capitol Police. They killed a member of the Capitol Police. They're not heroes to anyone, regardless of whether or not who you think they support. And they frankly make President Trump's supporters. They make all of us who wanted him to win be cast in a terrible shadow. They were American citizens who tried to overtake an American government. And what do you think that showed our foreign adversaries? That just, it makes me nauseous, and all of them should be, everyone who walked into the Capitol that day and knowingly broke federal law should be a convicted felon the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I mean, watching it take place and seeing the thousands of people who were there to attend, you know, a rally in support of Donald Trump, listening to the words that he said, and then this event takes place, it's never all or nothing. There are very good people who were attending that rally who weren't anywhere near the Capitol building when this took place. But this type of behavior, this criminal, dangerous, violent behavior by these rioters has made it difficult once again to align yourself with, you know, the policies that President Trump has supported, that he's successfully accomplished during his 4 years in office. And it seems as though I'm getting a lot of sadness from people who listen to my show, people who feel kind of hopeless right now, because, you know, their support for this president hasn't waned, but they also absolutely don't condone what took place at the Capitol building. But there doesn't seem, it seems as though that nuance of being able to separate those two things is too complicated for people to speak out right now. I'd imagine a lot of your supporters, a lot of the people who voted for you also voted for Donald Trump. What's your message to these conservative Republican people who are feeling a little bit lost and homeless right now?
It's not difficult. It's not difficult to talk about this because, number one, the president lost the election. What Rudy Giuliani and the clown car of Trump's legal team were selling was wrong. It was misinformation. They were 0 for 60 in the courts. The president did not win the election. And you can't just create a narrative that the president then touted via press conference without any legal backing. And that's why I voted to certify the Electoral College vote. I've fulfilled my duty under the 12th Amendment of the Constitution. Now, conversely, what the Democrats are doing with impeachment, they rushed it through, and it is a process that, you know, has now given rise to the far left thinking that somehow the president's going to be impeached. No, he's going to leave office because of January 20th and a presidential inauguration of the person who beat him, Joe Biden. But what really irks me, and you were talking about it when you guys couldn't hear me talking right before, you were talking about the hypocrisy of rhetoric and rhetoric being blamed. You know, I got shot at on a baseball field because people like Nancy Pelosi and Bernie Sanders stood up and said, Republicans are killing people with their policies. This guy screamed health care while he was firing at us. This rhetoric does not mean that you take away personal responsibility. And every person who walked into that Capitol had responsibility of the crimes that they committed, just like the gunman would have if he would have survived that day. And that is the thing that irks me. You cannot have a double standard on rioting, looting, and violence. If you condemn the riots in this summer and the violence there and are okay with what happened on January 6th, you are no better than the people you called hypocrites just a few months ago, and vice versa. Yeah. Accountability matters.
It does absolutely go both ways. We stopped, paused, and listened to Steve Scalise speaking yesterday. It was important for me, and I think for a lot of our listeners, to hear his take on what got us to the moment yesterday where impeachment was being voted on for the second time. You know, you're talking about accountability. You're talking about it going both ways. I'm asking you, Congressman, how does that happen? I mean, I want it to happen, and I know that you do too, but I'm struggling right now seeing the road that leads us to that point.
It's going to take people who actually quit. It's going to take the majority of Americans who aren't on that far end of the political spectrum, who don't look at politics of either side as their religion. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take people willing to work together across the aisle to get things done again and get back to truth. But we got a 24-hour news cycle that just wants to traffic in whatever narrative they want. I just did an interview with CNN, and it was all, why can't you hold Trump accountable? Why can't you? There's no way what Nancy Pelosi said was equal to what Trump's done. Well, Donald Trump, we found out after the fact, one of the reasons why the Capitol Police were at a much less security posture was because the FBI Norfolk office, who got a tip about many violent protesters coming, didn't relay that tip to the former Capitol Police chief or the former sergeant at arms so that they would have known violent protesters were coming. I got a briefing the day before where they thought it was going to be a First Amendment demonstration, and they'd mentioned they were monitoring security issues but felt their posture was more than adequate. So how did Donald Trump inspire them that morning when the intelligence had already said they were already on their way days before? So it's frustrating because the things that we saw go wrong on 9/11 went wrong in the day before that event, and I want to get to the bottom of it because it's now my job to make sure nothing like that ever happens again in our nation's capital, and that is my duty.
Yeah, and we're very glad that you were there to do that, and your voice on this issue is important to my show, to me specifically, and I know to our listeners. If I can shift real quick before I let you go on some state news, you are the 13th district representative in the U.S. Congress right now for the state of Illinois. And, you know, we have Mike Madigan, no longer the speaker. We have a massive social justice police reform bill that has passed the House and the Senate, and Governor Pritzker will still have the opportunity to veto it. I can't really imagine a scenario where that happens, but I guess there's hope. Illinois is looking down the pike at some very, very drastically progressive issues here. And also, we just found out today that there is a representative out of Downers Grove that has introduced a bill to eliminate school resource officers, police officers from school premises. It's getting further and further to the left. And I'm curious, Congressman Davis, what your reaction is to this news and what hope you can give Illinois that there might be a bright spot in the future.
Well, first of all, I don't know who this state rep is from Downers Grove, but I will be happy to have that person talk with Max Schachter, a friend of mine who lost his son down at Parkland in Florida not too long ago. And they had school resource officers that, if they would have done their job, would have saved lives, but he ran. We need brave school resource officers, just like the brave Capitol Police that did so much to save us a week ago and did so much to save all of us on the baseball field not too long ago. It's crazy ideas like that that just don't make sense, Annie. And frankly, I'm glad Mike Madigan's gone. Democrats are going to try and enact crazy policies, and that means Republicans are going to win. And hopefully we can get some common sense back into governing. I'm sick and tired of always talking about what the far end of the political spectrum is. I am sick and tired of always answering what someone said on Twitter. Why can't we just talk about the things where we agree? Oh, well, wait, they don't get ratings, so they don't want us on the media. That's why I love local media like yours, local news like yours, because you know what? We can get through issues. Sure, there's a bend in philosophy, but you can have a legitimate conversation.
Yeah, it is so important to have that. Governor Pritzker will be up for re-election here in 2022, and I'm seeing people on both sides of the aisle looking at the lack of solutions and the problems that he's caused for businesses across the state. Do you consider him to be a vulnerable candidate for re-election in 2022?
Well, I fully believe he'll be a one-term governor. He's been a disaster. I've never met anybody more blameless. Well, maybe Nancy Pelosi. But this is a guy who has blamed everybody but himself on every single issue that's gone wrong with the pandemic response, with the economy in Illinois, and with his failed tax amendment where he wanted to push more Illinoisans to move out of state. I mean, this is a guy who attacked me at his own press conference because I had the audacity to actually ask questions of the Illinois Department of Employment Security as to why I'm a victim of unemployment fraud. I mean, this clueless, absolutely clueless. And then using his administration to attack also just shows how clueless some of the people around him are.
I read an article had about, I don't know, a dozen names in it of people who might challenge him. Your name was on that one, Congressman, as a potential challenger in 2022 for J.B. Pritzker. You want to say anything about that?
Oh, that would be a fun race, I can tell you that. But
fair enough.
You know,
we'd be happy to cover
my, Yeah. No, look, my future in Congress is dependent upon the majority, supermajority Democrats and Governor Pritzker in Illinois. I mean, they completely control the redistricting process. And if they make it a fair map, then that's what he promised. Let's see if they do. But if they don't, they just try to be partisan. I mean, we're all looking at it. We would all look at other opportunities if we feel like we want to continue to serve.
Well, Congressman Davis, we're always grateful to have you here. You weren't with us at the beginning of the segment. We did have your nickel back. We will have it on the way out. As long as you keep coming back, we're happy to serve up the nickel back for you and for the listeners. And we appreciate your testament to what took place last week. It's quite a story. And I think that is, it, from the inside, is a very, very important story to be telling right now because it's real. Congressman Davis, thank you so much. Great to have you back.
Thanks, Annie. Appreciate everyone.
Talk to you again soon. Illinois' 13th district right here in the St. Louis Metro East. He's my representative. Ryan's too, right? Are you Mary Miller? Or are you?
I am. No, I'm barely in Rodney's district.
It's like straddling the line. You could move a street over. That, man, if you wanted, whenever we're talking about maps and stuff in the state of Missouri and they're talking about gerrymandering, I'm like, Illinois is like, here, hold my beer. It's unbelievable. And it's going to get even crazier. It's going to be even crazier. And Congressman Davis is right. Illinois is going to lose a congressional seat this next time around. You know why? Because everybody is fleeing the state for freedom into fine red states like yourself, Missouri. You beautiful thing, you. All right, quick break. I'm going to get Ryan and Katie's reaction to that when we come back. Don't go away. All right. We don't have a whole lot of time here, and I want to get Katie and Ryan's reaction to what we just heard from Congressman Roddy Davis, but I just came across a story, and this is specifically for Katie because I know this is right up her alley. A man brewed a tea from, quote, magic mushrooms. That's not why it's right up Katie's alley.
Whoa, Nelly.
A tea from magic mushrooms and injected the concoction into his veins.
Whoa.
Several days later, he ended up at the emergency department with the fungus growing in his blood.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
The man spent 22 days in the hospital with 8 of those days in the intensive care unit. Sorry that we're laughing at him. Where he received treatment for multi-system organ failure. Now released, he is still being treated with a long-term regimen of antibiotic and antifungal drugs. According to a description of the case published January 11th. Our prayers are with Magic Mushroom Man. Sits at home. Don't
but
do
my
this.
Gosh.
Disclaimer.
The headline is Magic Mushrooms Grow in Man's Blood After Injection with Shroom Tea.
What I was going to say. Like that's the goal. Like when you inject fungus into your veins, you're probably trying to get fungus to grow in your veins.
No.
You're probably making dumb decisions from the start, and you're probably just trying to get.
Yeah, I think he was wishing I think he was wishing for a nice little trip.
You're just supposed to be hallucinating that they're growing in your veins. You're not actually supposed to grow in your veins. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Oh.
Don't do drugs, kids. I mean, seriously.
It's amazing that it took him a week to go to the ER. Maybe. Like for that week, he must have either not known where he was or been feeling real good.
It said several days later he was in the emergency department, so I don't know that it was
several
a week.
Days.
Katie, when you listen to Congressman Davis, especially knowing that he was on that baseball field and he has gone through this before, targeted because of his political party with gunfire that could have taken any of their lives, and Steve Scalise, who was hit as well, and you hear that he was carrying one of the other fellow colleagues down the stairs who was going through cancer treatments because they couldn't move fast enough. How's that hit you in the context of everything all the other noise that we've heard?
I think it's just so scary to believe that this is the world that we're living in. And also to know that these Capitol riots were absolutely terrifying and done by, as Roddy Davis highlighted, they were not patriots that did this. And that notion is scary that happened last week. But then he also brought up that two summers ago, whenever they shot up the baseball field, again, because someone believed so strongly in their own political agenda and their own political ideologies, that they let their emotions take the best of them, so much so that they're going to a baseball field and shooting up people. And so you wrap your head around this saying, okay, that this has been going on a lot longer than just last week. And it's been going on from both sides of the table. And that's scary to me.
What about you, Ryan?
It's weird to hear his inside take, because I try to put myself in that circumstance. Like if we're in the building, if we're in our radio studio together and we find out that people are breaking into the bottom floor, we would probably freak out too and want to lock ourselves in and, you know, get real safe or get wherever the safest place is, because we don't know what's happening. But it's odd, and I don't know if you guys have experienced this. I've seen some violent imagery, but for the most part, what's out there, it looks like Animal House. Like it just looks like a bunch of people in the Capitol partying. So it's weird.
When you see floods of people breaking the glass, the windows, and crawling in the windows, that's terrifying. I mean, any camera angle can give you a false idea of it being scarier or party-esque, but knowing what we know, I mean, it is crazy to be seeing these images of people hanging from the rafters in the chambers. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't look party to me.
There
that looks
violence.
Like these people have no standards that I can relate to.
Same.
No, I disagree. I think that actually does look, not like saying like, oh man, I wish I was there. That looks like fun. It just looks like people just going crazy, like a frat house. Like they don't care. They're just going nuts. And so reconciling what actually was happening inside the building with the images that I see, like especially podium guy. Guy walking with podium, looking like he's headed to the ski slope,
but that's
smiling
one photo.
Into the
that is just one single photo in the event. I mean, the images, the sounds of people bursting in, knowing that they were spreading their excrement. I mean, to me, it's terrifying. I completely disagree with that. Let's take a quick break. Tyrus is going to be with us when we come back. Also, State Representative Blaine Willhauer. We're going to get an update on the lack of a Speaker Madigan in the state of Illinois, plus the police reform bill passed the House, passed the Senate. Call Governor Pritzker right now and tell him veto, veto, veto.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.